What if there had been no Easter? You remember the plot of the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart's character, George Bailey, has the picture-perfect life. He has a loving wife. He has four young children. He has his own business. One Christmas Eve, George encounters some severe business difficulties, and his uncle had lost the money that they owed the bank, and they were in trouble, and he just thought everything was over, and he contemplated suicide. He's saved at the last moment by the appearance of his guardian angel. And the angel shows George how much his life means by showing him how the world would be without him. And it's not pretty. His cheerful, friendly town is dreary and impoverished. Finally, George is convinced. And the angel returns him to the world as if nothing happened and everything works out. So think for a moment. Think for a moment. What if there had been no Easter? What would your existence be like if there were no Easter? What would life be like? The follower of Jesus understands the significance life is given at Easter. What if there had been no Easter? Luke chapter 24 is where we're going to start. Verse 1. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home marveling at what had happened. What if there had been no Easter? If there were no Easter, there would be no victory over death. Death wins if there is no Easter. It may have been the early Jew who coined the phrase that the only sure thing in life are taxes and death. And because death is sure, it seems to have the upper hand. So the women come to the tomb. They've come to take care of the body. And so they come with their spices and everything to take care of the body, and they don't find a body. They see two men that suddenly appear, and they're dressed in this clothing that just is more than they can understand. They don't understand it at all, and here they are. And the two men ask him, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" Maybe what we ought to ask the world is why do you seek life among the dead? The life that is the only life worth living is the life lived for Christ. And the apostles didn't understand that either, and the women didn't understand that, but here's these two men. If there is no Easter, if there had been no Easter, then life doesn't matter. And then annihilationalism arises where once you die, that's it, and you just kind of go away. But the truth of it is that eternity has been put in all of our hearts. And we long for that. We will await that. Life matters. Paul spoke of the sting of death in 1 Corinthians 15, that death's sting is sin. And sin is that which separates you from God, and for which punishment is coming. So your living matters. Because of Easter, the sting of sin and the fear of death have been dealt with. So a victory over death has won, and the winning is available to all. Some time back, we lost one of our international missionaries. Linda Lipscomb was her name. She was an international mission board worker, known for her ability to bridge cultural divides. She died February 14, 2008, in Bangkok, Thailand, from complications following an accident. She was only 63. 4 weeks before her death in another part of Asia, Linda stood just inside a bus, and she was about to step off and go to a coffee shop when the brake released and the bus lurched, and she fell and broke a femur and a wrist. Even though Linda was medically evacuated to Bangkok the day after the accident, over the next 4 weeks, complications set in. And she took a turn for the worse. And this is what her husband, JP, said. Linda knew she was dying. We never had any respect for death. Death is given too much respect, because the only way you can get to heaven is to die. If there were no Easter, there would be no victory over death. Do you fear death? Do you fear dying? There are things worse than death for a believer, but death is the worst for non-believers. Are you afraid maybe of the punishment coming? If there is no hope in your life, if you do not know Christ this day, you must be the most hopeless person. But if you do know Christ, then we have hope. The body just messes up because all of our existence has been touched by sin, and our human bodies are not immune to that. But what do you fear? Do you fear death? Maybe you're afraid of the punishment coming to you. Maybe you've lived on your own terms and you realize it. But at death, you realize that the terms are not yours any longer. And doesn't it make life worth more living because of what you do, the choices you make, and the consequences of what you do in your choices, because they'll last forever? I always hated practice in sports because practice didn't count. Life counts. This isn't practice. This is the real thing. What if there had been no Easter? If there were no Easter, there would be no one to speak for you in heaven. There is no one to represent you if there is no Easter. Until the first Easter, Jesus could have been a good man. He could have been a smooth talker. He could have been a charlatan. But Easter made it clear that he was much, much more. He is our high priest. He is taking our business before God. The writer of Hebrews ends chapter 7 describing Jesus as our high priest, as holy and innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And that high priest had been offered himself once for all. That may be the best phrase in all the Bible, once for all. That Jesus died one death once for all. Only he has lived the sinless, perfect life. And he has been tempted in every way, but there has been no disobedience found in him. And in Hebrews chapter 8, the writer says that Jesus, our high priest, takes his rightful seat in heaven. He is there now because heaven is his home. He doesn't have to make an appointment to see God. He is at the right hand of the Father to represent you. Back in 2006, the Muslim world got up in arms over a lecture by Pope Benedict. And since then, there has been some back and forth between Muslims and Christians. And this back and forth has been termed a common word. Leading thinkers, so to speak, from both camps have sought this common word. Well, suppose for a moment. Suppose it true, as one thought puts it, that all seek God in their own way. It's not, but suppose it. There is only one name on which we may call on to be saved. But suppose it were true that there are many ways to God. Here's the difference. Only in Christianity do we have a mediator, someone speaking on our behalf. And he is there now on our behalf before the Father, speaking for you. So when it hurts, and life hurts, Jesus understands. He is speaking for you. He is arguing your case for you. If you have been rejected, so is he. If you have been betrayed, so is he. If you have been tempted, so has he. This morning, my question to you is have you asked Jesus to be your speaker, to be your advocate? Have you asked Jesus to speak on your behalf? And he continues to do that until this day. Before, as he dealt with people, he forgave them. Here he asked the Father to forgive them, to forgive the people's sins. And if nothing else, this shows that God is for us. He is for us, but because he is holy, because he is righteous, he's not going to put up with our mess. He sent Christ into the world to change our lives, to change our hearts. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And the best for us is his holiness. And so his holiness, too, demands that our rebellion be taken seriously. But he is for us. Have you ever felt like the world's out to get you? We all have. But he's not. He is for us. He just wants us to admit our sin, confess our sin, and follow him. Have you done that? Jesus came to fulfill God's intention and to fill our need of a model, to model our lives after. And Easter also makes possible resurrection power because Jesus was in the grave, but he didn't stay in the grave. And the power that takes that dead lifelessness and changes it is the same power that will change your life today. That resurrection power is what gives hope for change, for transformation, for living. Several years ago, when my kids were all small, and man, that was a long time ago. Whew, that was a long time ago. I don't want to tell you how long ago it was, but it was a long time ago. My in-laws lived in Virginia, and they had several acres of land, and my father-in-law came up with a couple goats to help keep the vegetation down. He built this little pen, and instead of really erecting a solid, sturdy fence, he just put up an electric fence. Well, one day, one of my kids got out there in the goat pen, and he had a bit of a problem. They backed him in a corner, and every time he would start to move away to get away from the fence, he'd go out towards the goats, and the goats would rear up as if they were going to butt him. And so he would back in and he'd get shocked by the fence, and he was back and forth. He was in trouble. Finally, an adult heard the child scream, cry. And so they went out and modeled the way out for the child. Come with me. But also the adult possessed the power to turn the threatening animal into a mere nuisance. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He has given us hope. He has given us hope for living. You know, it occurred to me that one of the reasons in the way it's described in Genesis as God would walk with Adam is in the cool of the evening is that he was teaching Adam how to live. And that's what Jesus is doing for us today. Do you have hope for living? Do you have hope for living? Never forget the most important thing happening in your life is the kind of person you are becoming. Are you becoming like Christ? Are you looking to Christ to model your life after Him? Are you depending on that resurrection power to get you through? Through the pain, through the loss, through the struggles. So what is the most significant moment for your life? It is the moment the dead, lifeless body of Jesus stirred with life again. If there had been no Easter, honestly, this life wouldn't be worth living. But there is. There's hope because there's been an Easter. If there had been no Easter, there'd be no victory over death. There'd be no one to speak for you in heaven. And there'd be no hope for living. But because of Easter, this is what we call Good Palm Sunday. It is a time when we remember Jesus coming in that final week to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. There's hope because of Christ.